Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But just getting back to, you know, the transition of when God gave his son, Jesus, to be born here. He was, you know, he was a spirit, but he came down. He was born as a man, all God, when he's walking with, he's born through Mary, you know, the Virgin Mary. But understand, he took on the form of man forever. So he's all God, all man. He did that because he loves us. That's how much God loves us. He came down and took the stuff on. But he did it without sin, where we didn't do it without sin. Mm-hmm. And in that, when he moved into his 3 years of ministry, you know, he lived a sinless life. He demonstrated the love of the Father. When you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. But all of a sudden, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, it looked like it was over. But on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead. But for 40 days, he walked around in a resurrected body. He's walking around. Even other folks that have been dead, holy folks have been dead for years, they came out of the grave. Mm. Hey, Uncle Bobby. It's been a while since I've seen you, 100 years. And so he's proving, you know, who he is in the context of that. But then one day, and this is why it's so important for you to enter in towards the end of the Gospels into the beginning of the book of Acts, because Jesus is about to leave. They don't know he's about to leave yet. I mean, he's telling them, but you know, it's like until you see it happening.
Right.
Because they had power when they were with Jesus, but Jesus was about to go. And as soon as he told them, he says, listen, I want you to do this. I don't want you to go. Wait. Go to this particular place. Go to Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. And I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. You know, Father God has promised you. Mm. Jesus, I talked about it. If you go back and look in the book of John, you can see where he's talking about, I'm a comforter, yes, but the Father's going to send you a second comforter. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to remind you. He's going to keep you forever to all eternity. And understand that promise is the promised Holy Spirit. And so they're talking, they're listening, but all of a sudden Jesus started coming off the ground. I mean, you're talking to this Jesus who they were familiar with, but now he's resurrected. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden he just starts getting lifted up real slow. And next thing you know, he's up in the air going further into the clouds, and they're just looking and looking. The clouds just kind of envelop him as he goes up. You know, and two angels stand there in white. They're going, listen, why are you looking? The same Jesus who just left, by the way, from the Mount of Olives, is going to come back to the same mm-hmm. place, the Mount of Olives. And it's time to get busy. Mm-hmm. And so what did he say? He said, go wait. And so they went and waited. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the promise, the Father's promise. And we talk about Azusa Street. You can understand this. Azusa Street happened in 1906 without texting, without email, without media as we know it. I mean, the photography was just, it was in a stable, you know, a horse stable that was, you know, small. And from a rejected, oppressed individual who cried out to God, Charles Seymour, with one eye. Mm. And God just responded. But he responded because they were all gathered together, as all the nations were gathered together, all the ethnos were gathered together. And I was just speaking in our last broadcast about understanding that, hey, you know, we've got to come together. All, it's not some just like unity thing. It's a requirement to reach the nations. We're not whole unless we're all together. And if whatever is keeping you from wanting to make that move to come together is sin, it's wounds, it's things God can heal, and it's things God can forgive, but you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge. We have to talk about our reality. Truly, American history has to be rewritten in some areas, because you got to take a separate college class to find out what happened to your particular ethnos group in America, because they don't teach it. They don't teach it. You have to go watch, you know, other things to be able to find out what's going on. And God taught me some things that had happened, and it's horrific. But God, and we're not talking about the world, we're talking about the church, that mm-hmm. if the church, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. So I would encourage you, you know, go back and begin to look at the transition when Jesus was finished with his work here on earth. He went to heaven. When he went to heaven, he asked the Father, because Peter explained it. He said, Jesus, just ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And what you're seeing right now is the promised power, the promised Holy Spirit of God. And everybody began to understand. If you're wondering why people don't understand you, it's because you don't have power. You don't have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the promise of the Father. We need him to remind us. We need him to guide us in the name of Jesus Christ. I encourage you, go back and search the scriptures, and in them you'll find what I say to be true. And maybe, maybe God will bring a second Azusa Street to the United States of America. Dear Lord, Third Great Awakening. Got to get back to the original intent. What did Jesus do when he left the church? Because there's something that he did in such a powerful way by going, releasing the Father's promise when he got to heaven that birthed the church. And it's sort of like saying, we're going to live this life out. And it's like, you haven't been born yet, mm-hmm. Or powerless. And you can really think about that when you think about it is, imagine that your power goes out. We had a storm here just recently, in the Gulf Coast region where the studios are and the Dream Center's at. And power has gone out for a lot of places. Mm-hmm. You can build a house. You can run wires in it. You can put receptacles in it. You can put switches in it. You can do all these different things in it. But it means nothing until you have power. And how many people, what they're calling church, it's like, yeah, you have all the parts and you have all the pieces, but mm-hmm. there's nothing surging through these wires here. My heart is not changed. I feel no conviction. I feel entertained, mm-hmm. as, Kichara says out of Texas, he says, I had a concert, man. Wow. We got on trolley cars and my kids got barcodes put on them. And we went in there and we had this concert. It was a big, huge mm-hmm. concert.
Valet parking.
And nobody knew anybody, but mm-hmm. she almost got ran over by a fellow employee. He didn't even recognize her. Good morning, Kijara. How are you doing this morning? The Texas School District that's there. But they, this should be a difference. When people come into your presence, and I know we're just going right into this today, but understand there should be a difference in your life. You should be different. You shouldn't have to say, I'm a Christian, which is okay, but they should know you are. Right. Your conversation, should be about Jesus, and his perspective, the one you love that gave his life for you, and the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. It should be in your life. It just should be different. And it's like, if people that you hang around that profess to be Christians, when you start talking about what the Word of God says, and they go, great, oh, you just teach all the time. You just talk about God all the time. It's like, you got the wrong friends. They don't love Jesus. They don't love Jesus. If you don't love his Word, you don't love him. And understand, find some folks who want to hear about the one that you love that loves you. Hang around those folks.
That's right.
I remember when Smith Wigglesworth had a visitor. It was Lester Summerall. And when Lester Summerall came over to see Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth was just a powerfully used man of God. It was a plumber called by God that just, massive healings and just everything. Mm-hmm. So you wonder, what does he do in his private time? Obviously, so many people think, why don't you, go do this? It's like, there's nothing greater than doing what we're doing. I mean, why would there be something else? I mean, like, what? And so he comes over with a newspaper up under his arm, and he's going in there to visit Smith Wigglesworth at his house. And Smith Wigglesworth tells him right up front, he points at him, he says, what's that under your arm? And it was a newspaper, and he said, you can't bring that in this house. And so he took it and he threw it in the bushes, and he went in there and he had a meal with Smith Wigglesworth, somebody that was used powerfully by God. And you know what he did? He pulled out his Bible and he read scripture. Mm-hmm. And when he finished reading scripture, he goes, that's it. It's been nice spending time with you. You got to do this again sometime.
Wow.
Because it's all about God.
Yeah.
It really is. We're going to spend eternity.
Yeah.
And our eternity is going to be based on what we're doing now. What are you going to do for him now?
Yeah. You're talking about Smith Wigglesworth. There was an account, a story that's been told about of his life. He had a powerful ministry, and talking about the church moving in power. This is a man who knew God, walked with God, and people would sit down. He'd be at a train station sitting down, and people would sit next to him, and they would feel such conviction. They would look at him and say, your presence just convicts me. Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. This deep conviction. But there's an account of, because there was reports and testimonies about all the things that had happened through his ministry. And this is a time with no texting, no email, no videos, no YouTube.
We say that because it's such a hard thing to grasp for today's
really
generation.
Is. And so when you hear these testimonies.
You call trains. And...
Yeah. You hear these testimonies and I'm sure they wondered how much of this was God and So this story goes that these pastors went to go see Smith Wigglesworth, and they wanted to see, okay, this source of power. And so he began to pray. He prayed often. He was praying in this room, and all of them said, "We're going to pray with Smith Wigglesworth." Mm-hmm. Well, as he continued to pray, the glory of God is just starting to manifest, mm-hmm. and it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so, as the story goes, each minister, one by one, had to walk out of the room because they could not be in the presence of God as Smith Wigglesworth was praying.
Right.
The very last minister said he's going to stay here no matter what, and he was just hanging in there. As the story goes, he had to crawl out on his belly for dear life, screaming the entire time trying to get out the room because it's just the power and the glory of God. And just Smith Wigglesworth was meeting God there in prayer. It's like they had to get out.
Yeah, dear Lord, that's what we want. I mean, you want to you want to have that communion with God. And think about it. The only thing that keeps you or us from that communion is our choices. You know, what choices do we make? And when you look at Smith Wigglesworth, he just didn't want to take in, you know, he didn't sit there and watch CNN News all day long and let them broadcast negative things over. Obviously, CNN News wasn't there, but in the newspapers were there, just, you know, whatever was happening. And you just can't let anybody just speak into your life. It's going to mess with your faith. It's going to mess with your confidence. And the Satan is really going to take over their tongue like he did with Peter and Jesus. I mean, think about this. That Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," right? He said, "Don't go to Jerusalem," is what Peter said. He said, "You almost tempted me." This is Jesus. "You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will." So if Jesus could be tempted by a conversation, by somebody who allowed their mouth to be used by the adversary. If you sit and watch media whose mouth is totally taken over by the dollar, you know, that's driven by the dollar. Most of the folks are just talking heads and nothing against that. That's a way of delivering things, but they're reading a prompter and that's all been thoroughly gone over by a corporate world. Will this match with our sponsors and will our advertisers stay with us? And you're releasing doubt. They're releasing doubt into your life. They're not having a contextual, you know, faith base to it. I mean, even the secular media years ago would have, this is what Rick Joyner said. Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministry said, he said, I don't know if the Lord had revealed this to him. Obviously he did, but how he got it, I can't remember. But he said in the 50s, in the 1950s in America, that people didn't even know God, didn't even know him, feared him. But today, people who claim to know him have no fear of God.
Wow.
And it's like, that's not a good combo. That's not a good combo in regards to that.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.